Ephesians chapter 4, please, church. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Everybody there? 17 of Ephesians chapter 4. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, these people aren't saved here. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says he has blinded their minds, right? Thank God we got out of that group. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If it be so that you have been heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit or the attitude of your mind. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in true righteousness and true holiness. You notice here, God first dealt with our position before he ever demanded a change in our condition, because that wouldn't be possible. He had our nature changed so we could work out our salvation with fear and trembling. God set us free legally so we can be free experientially or practically in our daily lives. Now, we got to work on that, right? The person who's always finding fault seldom finds anything else. So we should start looking for the good in ourselves and others, not the vile. Easy to see the vile, isn't that right? But we're separating the precious from the vile. Most people never get the victory because they're always attending to the vile, the darkness, the sins, their past. And they just can't get out of that. But you have to get the victory, right? I don't know if you remember back in the 80s. Remember, because the Charles Caps was one of the biggest ones that did it. Did he have the victory? Did he get the victory? Remember that? We always are saying that. So I guess they were at the funeral home. And obviously they were paying respects to the dead. And someone asked another brother, did he have the victory? He said, I don't know what he had, but it killed him. 1 Peter chapter 2. See, you were even more excited back in the 80s. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Who are we talking about? He's precious. That's why if you tend to him, the vile fall off. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the cornerstone. Jesus came to bring restoration to your life and to my life. Look over to Romans chapter 8. Now, the thing is, you got to quit attending to the vile so you can grow. Some of you say, I do the same thing over and over. Well, because you're attending to the vile. Attend to the precious and you'll be released from the vile. How long will it take? Timing is not my... That's above my pay grade, the time is right. But if you attend to the precious, it'll be sooner than you think. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh or the vow, but after the Spirit, the precious. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now this is a legal thing or a positional thing. We got to work out our salvation, sanctification with fear and trembling. Drop the vow. Your self-image is the inner picture we carry of ourselves. Some of you may have yours in your wallet. If we only attend or pay attention to our shortcomings, the vow, we will never get free. Satan will continue to magnify your failures. It'll continue. God never intended for you to feel badly about yourself. That's not God's intention. Nobody knows you as well as God does, and he's not rejecting you. Say, God's not rejecting me. Well, I need a word on that, Pastor. I knew you were going to ask that. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm glad. We want the word on it, right? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You've not been rejected. You're accepted in the beloved. Church, can I tell you something? You can read the word and draw things from the word, but you got to really hear the word for faith to come. Then you got to speak the word to build the inner image on the inside of you. It's sometimes you're just tired to do it, and I understand that, but we have to do it. Jesus told the centurion, speak the word only. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom, verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Attend to his acceptance, which is precious. His acceptance is precious, right? And not to the few that are rejecting you. That's the vow. They're rejecting you probably out of jealousy or something. So why you attend to those few when the one who died for you is accepting you? By the way, you should start to get along with yourself. Isn't that true? Because you are the one person you can never get away from. Maybe that's such a high rate of suicide, especially teenage suicide is up. Maybe they're trying to get away from themselves. Sad. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The motivation of God toward you and me is grace. Grace is always dependent on who and what God is, never on who or what we are. Aren't you grateful for that? Romans chapter 5. Pastor, all you give is the word. Don't you think you give us some of your opinion and views? You don't want those. Right? This is Jesus, the word. Romans chapter 5. Look to verse 8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He commended his love toward you while you were yet a sinner. Verse 9 says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Remember a principle of life. You can't get a dog to drop a filthy bone by force. You ever be able to do that? You got dogs? Some of you know that. The more you pull, the stronger that dog holds on. The best way to get the dog to drop that old filthy bone is to show him something better, like a pork chop. That's why we have to show you something better, so you'll drop that old filthy bone of the past, the vow. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And you, verse 1, hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or manner of life in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, that's all vile, and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, there it is there, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Thank God for his rich mercy, right? You could think about or just reminisce quickly about those desires that you fulfilled with the flesh and mind because of what your nature was. Look to John 8. This is before you got born again. And some people had a will to follow the law more than others that still won't save you. In John 8, verse 44, it says, you are of your father the devil. Boy, nobody likes to hear that. But Jesus said it. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. His nature, the devil's nature, we want to say the Adamic nature, the devil's nature is more accurate, influenced your behavior. It had an impact on your soulish, your reasoning, your will even, and your emotions. And then that had an effect on your physical body. Second Peter. Now let's go from the devil's nature to God's nature, right? Okay, Pastor, I got God's nature in me. Why do I do the same things all the time? And I ask God to forgive me till I'm embarrassed. He's not. And I still do them. Because you got to get your mind renewed. And to be honest with you, you spend too much time with the TV and not with the Bible. No, oh, you're getting personal. No, I'm not. I didn't name names. I'm just telling you how it is. My goodness. They don't have Popeye on anymore. The Lone Ranger. I mean, there's a lot of filth on that TV. Anyhow, that's another story. You're big boys and girls. Second Peter, right? Chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious. He calls your faith precious. with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Say precious. And by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. You no longer have the Adamic nature, the satanic nature. You have God's nature. Right here, you got God's nature. Isn't that wonderful? If you don't attend to your divine nature, which is on the inside of your spirit, man, you will allow the flesh and mind to control you. Right? The one you feed the most is the one that will be the strongest. And what you have to feed the spirit man is the word. The word, the word, the word. Attend to the word, the word. The word, the word, the word. Well, Pastor, I don't like to read too much. I knew you were going to say that. But see, they got CDs out now. DVDs. You can get Believer's Voice of Victory 24/7 teachings. You could hook it up with a Roku. Galena Construction does that on the side. He'll send Robbie out to get your Roku hooked up, and then I don't know what channel you'll get. But his cry needs to be raised. Right. Okay, let's move right along. But I mean, sometimes you're tired, you don't like to read. Even those, you have old tapes that you still enjoy, right? Just how much effort does it push the tape recorder down? In your car, a place of solitude. But, get on a cell phone, you could be listening to a tape. I mean, I'm just trying to give you some time where you say you don't have any time. If you don't attend to divine nature, your spirit man, you will allow the flesh and mind to control your life. And then you get in condemnation. You see the vicious cycle? Does anybody see it? Consequently, there is no distinction in your actions between you and the unregenerate person, right? Every day something will attempt to dominate you. There is no temptation that is taking you that such is common to man. God will not allow it. And what that means in 1 Corinthians 10:13, Satan can't come up with a new bag of tricks. Every temptation you'll face has been common to man since the fall. But there is a way of escape, right? When fear tries to dominate your day, let God's love take over. When your past sins begin to echo, what else echo? Let your dreams speak louder. When you hear bad news over the airwaves, let the good news dominate you. When procrastination tries to dominate you, let obedience take over. When confusion tries to dominate your day, allow the mind of Christ to take over. When strife tries to dominate your day, let the peace of God take over. When greed tries to dominate your day, let giving take over. Back to Ephesians 2. Thank you. This is God, because I had Teresa change the title twice. One was on depression. I almost forgot the other one. But I just kept this title because I wasn't about to type labels again. Plus, I wouldn't have been able to get a hold of her. She was on a trip. Not that kind. A trip in a car. See, your mind automatically went to the vow. Ephesians 2. Right? Ephesians 2, look to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, you could say wherewith he loved me, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But God, we were the subjects of verses 1 through 3, which describes the condition despite your good intentions and efforts, okay? But God, rich, that Greek word is plousios, from where we get Pluto, the god of wealth, in Greek mythology. The English word is plutocrat. I just thought you got independents, Republicans, Democrats. You can go become a plutocrat. What are you? I'm a plutocrat. Hey, means wealthy. This is someone who is so rich that he has influence over other people. Man. Let's see. Denny, you're the only one here. Mercy is grace in action. True? Now, Paul, in the first three chapters of Ephesians, shows the church of Ephesus their glorious position in Christ. That's their position. And as a result of his finished work at the cross, he shows the practical side in chapters 4, 5, and 6. First your position or legal side, then 4, 5, and 6 chapters, practical, experiential side. You have to have the first before the other. In other words, legally, you have to get born again. You know what I mean? Practical truth is the application of positional truth in our everyday lives. You'll get many opportunities on a daily basis to apply your positions in life. Will you not? What does your shield of faith look like? Is it dented? Can you really take a moment's break from his assaults? Doesn't seem like you do get much of a break, do you? Isn't that right? All right. Let's go back to the filthy bone. Romans chapter 3. Then we're going to shut it down, I think. Oh, we didn't go that long. Romans 3. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what? I mean, people with PhDs before their names. In theology. And many other that went to cemetery. They just can't get this. Did you ever hear that quote, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God? They refer that to believers. This is not talking about a believer. For all have sinned, meaning because of Adam, all have sinned and we come short of the glory of God. But they don't say it that way. Now, of course, before you're saved, you do sin, you know, but they put this on the believer. How are you going to get out of that confession? Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Now here, catch this. I want to, because this is about the bone. But this is about the bone in relationship to you and me, the bone being, well, The law is the hand that tries to pull the filthy old bone out of one's mouth. Did you get that? That's the law. That's why you can't live by the law. The law doesn't help anyone overcome sin. It only helps one to be sin consciousness. Are you ready for one more? All right, Hebrews 10 then. Hebrews 10, verses 1, 2, 3, 4. For the law, verse 1, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers therefore unto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins or a sin conscience. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance made again of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away the sins. Only the blood of Jesus can. Make a decision, church, even if you slip up, that you are going to attend to the precious. The trouble with people, when they blow it, instead of confessing that sin, they let it harbor and get embedded in. That's why, you know, some people never say they're sorry to one another. Never. And if you don't protect that, this becomes hardened, the heart. That is not good.